And this evening we're looking at the energy industry with Sean Evers of Gulf Intelligence, Andy Sutherland of Senergy. Gents, we're talking about the possible end of the commodities super cycle. We've seen a tremendous run-up in the oil price over the past decade or so. When I moved here in 1998, a barrel of oil cost you $10. Now it's over $100. But is that all over? Here's one man who says it is. His name is Leonardo Mugeri. Now, he used to work for one of the big European energy companies, but now he works at a think tank in Harvard University. And he's just put out a report that says the world is facing not a shortage of oil, but a glut of oil over the next couple of decades. He says four countries will lead the coming oil boom: Iraq, the United States, Canada, and Brazil. Iraq is largely because of political issues. It's now easier slightly to produce in Iraq. The United States and Canada are much more technical issues in terms of extracting hydrocarbon, usable hydrocarbon resources from things like shale. Andy, this is in some senses your area of expertise, isn't it? You work for a company that helps to get the hydrocarbons out of the ground and make them useful. What Yes. do you make of a thesis like this that says that the world is facing not a shortage of oil, but an oil glut?
It's interesting. Something around this subject caught my attention last year, and you know, having looked at the subject, I would say that the biggest influencer could be Iraq, because you know, the term that we use in our industry can be, you know, easy oil. This is oil that's found on land in fairly shallow reservoirs that flows at a good rate. And this is what we have in Iraq. And we know that the proven reserves in that country are, you know, well over 100 billion barrels. So that has got good potential to influence things. However, the amount of spending in surface infrastructure just to get that oil to market is huge. So that shouldn't be underestimated. The technical challenges around the US and the Canadian reserves, yes, shale oil, heavy oil that we find in Canada, techniques have improved to extract that oil, but you have to put in a lot of effort and make a lot of investment to get not so much back. So I think that we've been forced into these technological advances rather than seeing it as a replacement for the easier type oil. And then I'll finish off on Brazil. Everyone's aware of the large discoveries that have been made in Brazil over the past years, and they've all been found in what they call deep water offshore environments. Now, a deep water environment means that the sea depth is upwards of, you know, up towards 2,000 meters before you even get to the seabed to start drilling into the ground. And just as another data point, the cost of a drilling rig today to drill one of those wells is running at about $1.3 million a day just to drill an 8.5-inch diameter hole. So they're a glut, not so sure, but certainly if you look at Brazil, Canada, and the US, it's a very expensive proposition. So my bet would be on Iraq, but I think it's a long way away.
Can I just interject there and throw a question, Andy? How important is the answer to that question dependent on how well reserves are managed? And I say that because, let's say, Iran has struggled to keep its reserves, its fields producing in the same way they did many years ago. We've seen similar challenges in Venezuela. They're all producing much less than they were. The fields in Iraq were certainly under duress for all of the last 25 years. The management of the reservoir, how important is that in terms of what can be harvested going forward?
It's vitally important, and I think we've discussed it on one of the other shows, is if you don't carefully manage the production in your reservoir early on, if you produce it at such a rate that you drop the pressure dramatically or you bring through the water early, you can't recover from it. No, you can't do surgery on an oil reservoir. So it's vitally important. And again, even in this region, some countries, you will find that the fields that were producing for many years, dry oil, never ending, they've started cutting water maybe 15, 20 years ago, Iran in particular. So it's not as easy as, you know, right, we're now going to start managing our reservoirs, so we'll change tactic. If you've been a bit ambitious early on, the damage is really done. So management's very important. So any of the newer fields that come on, the newer reservoirs, I think down the road in Abu Dhabi is a good example of where they have been responsible. And I think that they'll get some longer life. But some of the mega giant fields that were found in the 30s and 40s, I think that they're starting to suffer now.
Another comment that we've talked about before, Sean, is that Christophe de Margerie, who's the boss of Total, who said, it's about a year ago now, wasn't it, when he was in Doha, he thinks that global oil production cannot really go beyond about 90 million barrels a day. And we're at 80-odd million barrels a day now. He said it's just not going to be possible. So he thinks the glut hypothesis is absolutely wrong. He takes quite the opposite view. Andy, what's your view on that?
His view just is a production capacity rather than supply, that the actual architecture to get it out of the ground is capped at, he sees it about 95.
Yeah, and I think that's down to, again, the Iraq example. You know, getting the oil out the ground is one thing, but then building that infrastructure to get it to market is not trivial at all.
It economically rewarding.
Exactly.
I mean, the deals have to be good.
Yes, that's right. The deals have to be good. You know, there's a lot of landlocked oil or gas. You know, there are massive reserves of gas in Turkmenistan, for example, but it can't go anywhere. So it's not just a matter of finding it, producing it. You still have to have the infrastructure to get it to the markets. And, you know, when I first joined the oil industry, it seemed to be a direct correlation between the anywhere that was considered a nice place was not where you would work. So where people live and where oil is found is usually, you know, miles and miles apart. So, I think I keep going back to it, the fundamentals are the oil is harder to find, we're finding it in smaller quantities, in more complex and more expensive to access reservoirs, and I can't see that changing.
A final quick word, Sean, on a story I know you've been covering for the past week or so, and it's nothing to do with geology and it's nothing to do with technicalities, it's all to do with politics. There's a US election coming up. The price of gasoline at the pumps in America is a hugely important issue. You've been following this one closely.
Yeah, it's been bubbling for a while, no pun intended, but, you know, the gasoline at the pump in America has kind of nearly tripled in the last 4 or 5 years. As the oil price has gone up, so has the gasoline price, which for America is a huge thing. You know, Americans are very used to going to their pump and for a dollar something filling up their car, which is usually quite a big one. And now it's closer to $5 a gallon in a lot of places. And that's a huge political issue if you're trying to get reelected as president. So there's a lot of pressure there's a lot of talk that the American president will find a reason to release the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in America in order to try and calm prices down a little bit. Ironically, it happened a year ago, but that was on the back of Libya being knocked out and supply not coming out of there. So there was a very obvious reason why you would release the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. You do not use the Strategic Petroleum Reserve because prices are too high. There has to be some dramatic supply disruption. That's the reason it's there. But on this occasion, I think they're struggling to find that, and they might just come up with another reason.
Listen, gents, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. But it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much indeed, as ever, on a Wednesday evening. Sean Evers, Managing Partner of Gulf Intelligence. Good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And also Andy Sutherland, Vice President at Senergy. Great to see you, Andy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Richard.